Greetings and welcome to MythWorks. This tape is the explanation of the Ajna or warrior focus. And on the other side of the tape is the actual meditation exercise. First, we're going to take a look at the legend or the myth behind the Ajna focus and then explain how the meditation works and what your goals might be as you go about it. So first of all, the word Ajna, A-J-N-A, is a shortened version of the name Arjuna, A-R-J-U-N-A. Arjuna was a Hindu warrior prince, and we come upon Arjuna the night before a huge battle, and he's pacing up and down in front of his battle tent, very, very worried, and here was his problem. Prince Arjuna, as the prince of his land, was obligated to defend his country, to defend his people, against all comers, against all enemies, and that's all well and good. However, the problem comes in that across the battlefield from where Arjuna was the enemy, and at the head of the enemy troops were his uncle and his cousins. And in their system, there was a taboo against shedding the blood of family members. So he was caught on the horns of a dilemma. He had to defend his country because that's what princes do, and yet he wasn't supposed to shed the blood of his family because that was against the cultural mores of the system that he was living in. So what's a guy to do? So he's pacing up and down, fretting, concerned, doesn't know what to do. You know, he's going to lose either way. Well, his charioteer sees that he's troubled and decides to have a talk with him. Now, fortunately for Arjuna, his charioteer was the god Krishna. This is always handy to have a god as your charioteer. So Krishna walks over to the prince and says, "Yo, Arjuna, let's chat." Takes him aside for a little talking to. And what Krishna tells Arjuna is this, the difference between karma and dharma, the big picture, the greater good for the greater number, versus the local laws, the local mores, the tribal taboos, if you will. And once Arjuna got straightened out on his priorities and saw that the bigger eternal truths override and subsume these smaller cultural differences or differentiations, then he was just fine. And he could go into battle the next morning with a clear heart and a firm mind and really go and defend his country to the best of his ability. So what you see in the Hindu iconography is this wonderful battle chariot, and it's all gold and jewels and tassels and really ornate because, of course, he's the prince. And Arjuna's in his chariot in his full battle armor, and he's got his bow and arrows, and he's ready to go out and take on the enemy and defend his country. And the charioteer is, remember, the god Krishna, the higher energy, the higher perspective, God, spirit, soul. And then the horses who are pulling the chariot are usually three, representing the physical body, the emotional body, and the mental body. So the point of it is, you, the persona, you, the identity here in this time and place, need to have those three bodies operating together at the same speed, going in the same direction, and you want all of it to be under the guidance of your higher self, the higher light, the spirit, your soul, God, goddess, whatever term you're comfortable with for that higher energy, that higher knowledge, that higher wisdom. So that's what we're after in building an Ajna center, is for us to reach that position where we are conscious of our three bodies and that we are not them, but they are aspects of ourselves, but that we are in the chariot. We are not the horses. We are not the chariot. We are in this. We reside within this world, but we are not of it, as also is one of the tenets of Christianity. And that it is best when our instrument in the three lower worlds is guided by and controlled by the higher wisdom, the higher light, which is, of course, still a part of ourselves as well. So that's what we're after in building an Ajna center. Now, the meditation, the focusing itself actually begins then with the physical body, the calming of the physical body, drawing light into it, shining light out from it, getting all of the organs and the cells into a perfect balance, into a perfect state of balance, control, well-being, a sense of healthiness, and a sense of awareness, and then raising that awareness up into the emotional body. And using creative visualization, what we do is we look out upon the emotions as if out upon a body of water. Now, the point of this is, in almost every symbolic system, you will find that water always, 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 always represents the emotions. Whether it's stormy seas, whether it's roiling, churning waters, steam, frozen waters, ice, snow, rain, storms, fog, anything like this is representative of the emotions. And we often have terminology even to talk about this. For instance, in military theory, in actually military fact, there is what's called the fog of war that happens when you're actually in combat and it obscures vision and sight, etc. And certainly we can look at people who are overcome by emotion. We can look at weepiness. We can look at all those things that show us that indeed, yes, water is a good symbol for the emotions. So in beginning to get a grasp on your own emotional body, it's often helpful to envision it as a body of water. So what you do is you look out upon this body of water and you begin to see and sense where there may be turbulent areas, where there may be some ruffling of the waters, where there may be some obstacles buried beneath the surface that either you know are there or you sense are there, and maybe you know what it is and you just haven't dealt with it yet, or you sense it and you don't know what it is and maybe that's something you're working on. So you begin to sense where your emotional body flows freely, where it's blocked, where it's clogged, where there's turbulence, where there are hidden obstacles. And also what you take a look at is this. Because we all share an emotional body, humanity shares an emotional body. People that you're close to, obviously you share a greater deal with them, whether it's lovers, friends, family, colleagues, business partners, the esprit de corps that often arises in groups or teams, okay? This sharing of the emotional body is what makes that kind of thing possible. So it's even said more flippantly, we all swim in the same emotional soup. So the good news about this is we can have relationships with each other. The bad news is other people's emotions can affect us. And then the good news flip side of that is our emotional state can affect other people. So we can have a calming effect on the environment as well. So you want to look out at your emotional body and see where it interacts with the emotions of others. And you may have some people in your life who always bring emotional turmoil and trouble. You may have some others who have a very calming effect. And perhaps you even know at times how someone will come into the room or come into a situation, and if they're upset, then everybody else gets all upset about it, right? So what you want to do then is notice other people's emotions and how they have an effect on you, and begin to realize that you are in control of your emotional body. And by having a conscious calming effect on your emotions, you can also have an effect on theirs. And one very important thing to realize, and you'll come across this if you do any formal study in any of the disciplines of the wisdom schools, is what you begin to do is to recognize when it's your emotional stuff and when it's not. So, for instance, you go into the office and you start to feel a little bit funny and maybe a little queasy at your stomach or just kind of on edge. And if you don't know what's going on, then you might begin to look at your own life and say, let's see, why am I feeling so upset? There must be something wrong. And you'll think, oh gosh, is it that fight I had with my friend last week? Am I still troubled about that? I thought we made up. Or, oh my gosh, it's the anniversary of when my cat died. I'm sure that's what it is. I'm upset. Okay, you were 8 years old, but maybe that's it. More often than not, if you don't immediately know what it is that might be bothering you, it may be somebody else's stuff. So you do a quick run on your own system, your own life, and you say, you know what? This isn't mine. So then you can look out into the environment and say, who around me seems to be troubled? And without being invasive, is there anything I can do about it? So this is real helpful just to keep your own self unclogged from the emotional sway and pull of those around you. Also, if there's, you know, a local tragedy or something happens in the news, you know, that wave sort of goes through humanity or through the group or through the family. So you can be more aware of this then and be more cognizant of it so that it doesn't affect you. And what you're able to do as you develop more this ability to build an Ajna center is you learn how to calm your emotional body so that it becomes a calm pool of water, a calm body of water that reflects the higher light perfectly. And there's a, I think it's a Buddhist koan or maybe a Japanese haiku or saying, something to the effect of, when the pond water is troubled, you don't see the reflection of the full moon. All you see are shards of light. But when the body of water, when the pond is calm, when the surface is clear, then you can see perfectly the reflection of the higher light, the perfect reflection of the moon. So that's what we're after, is to have our emotional bodies always calm, always poised, so that we can reflect the higher light. And a thing to remember is we're not after suppressing our emotions, we're after controlling them appropriately so that they can be used in the appropriate way at the appropriate time. So it's not about suppressing them, and it's not about denying them, but rather it's about consciously, from a higher perspective, learning to use the power of the emotions for the greater good, for the greater number, because emotions are the power factor of manifestation. Nothing happens without emotions. So, as you look out upon your emotional body, realize that it's exceptionally powerful. It's how you motivate yourself. It's how you motivate others. It's how you get things done. So, it's best for you and everyone around you for you to have it poised and calm, powerful, and ready to be used at the direction of your higher self. Now, the mental body we often symbolize as geometric forms, as lines, as words also. And in this instance, you have to use your creative imagination more and sort of let those thought forms, those ideas that you have, form up and see and take a look at, where did I get that idea? Where did I get my ideas about money, about romance, about marriage, about child rearing, about business, about government, about God, about gods, about anything? And begin to investigate and see where your ideas came from and see if those are still the ideas that you truly believe now. So begin to take apart, begin to dismantle the geometry of your mental body and see where perhaps you're holding on to some thoughts that no longer serve you, or that are detrimental to your growth, or that don't allow you to interact as fully and as warmly and as openly as you could with other people because of prejudicial thoughts, perhaps. So begin to take a look at the construct of your mental body, at the construct of your thoughts, realizing also that humanity shares a mental body. Otherwise, you couldn't understand what I was saying. And it would be gibberish. But because we share a mental body, we can understand each other. We can communicate. We can read history. We can see what humans thousands and thousands of years ago were thinking. And it is often said that those who are guiding humanity implant thoughts ahead of time before the rest of humanity comes up with them, so that the great thinkers of humanity draw in these thoughts from the higher planes and bring them down for us into humanity's mental body, so that more and more of us can begin to think, can begin to conceptualize, and pull these abstract thoughts down into the more mundane world where all of humanity can benefit from them. And you could look at people such as Einstein, Da Vinci, the great inventors of the world, the great thinkers of the world who have brought new concepts to us, and think, all right, they were very, very active up in the mental planes. And this is the sort of thing that I would like to develop too, So you begin to work then on clarity and precision in your mental body. And this is where the symbolism of geometry helps a lot, of geometric figures, because in geometry, if we all go back to our eighth grade geometry classes, remember how precision was so important. And everything is measurable, everything is precise, and there's a beauty to it. It's tied, of course, into music as well. So it isn't just, you know, dull old lines and planes and solid geometry and such, but it is fabulously beautiful in its own way. So beginning to develop a mental body of clarity and precision. And I would toss in here something a teacher of mine once said. She said, you know, most people don't actually have thoughts. What they have are opinions about their emotions. Well, think about that and do a little self-analysis on, at times, what may not be your thoughts, but your opinions about your own emotions and about other people's emotions. And when you catch yourself doing that, then take yourself up to that next highest level and get up into that thinking plane, the mental plane, where there is clarity and precision. Okay, so now you've gotten an awareness of your three bodies, the physical body, the emotional body, the mental body, and now you move up into the Ajna center, often depicted as a small golden sun in front of the forehead. And that is then your home in the three-dimensional world. That is your chariot. That is your position as an instrument of the soul, as a server of the light, as a co-creator with God, is from that Ajna center, where you then balance and integrate your three lower bodies. And you turn your awareness then, once you're focused in the Ajna center, up to receive those higher energies, to receive those abstract thoughts, to receive those higher emotions that then get expressed through your emotional body, to receive that energizing energy itself into your physical body for health and well-being and the energy to accomplish your goals as the hands and feet of God, as the eyes and ears of the goddess, as the heart and soul of spirit. So you see then your position in the Ajna center, open and receptive to the higher light, to the higher ideas, to the higher energy. It comes through your instrument, through your very unique, your very special, never been anyone like you, never will be anyone like you. All of those higher energies, those higher ideas, those higher emotions are filtered through the uniqueness of you, and then put out through your instrument into the three lower worlds. You could also liken it to being the neck of the hourglass, where you are receptive to the higher and causative to the lower. So it is from this position of Arjuna, the warrior prince, the Ajna center, is the position from which you will best and most ideally operate in the world. Now, the trick of this is the Ajna center, unlike the other chakras, is not just a natural one that kind of develops as you evolve through your trek of being a human, but it's one that needs to be consciously developed. So you need to work on this. Yeah, that's the bad news part. But the good news is it really does work, and it will improve your life immensely. You will find yourself a whole lot easier to live with, and you will find that it gives you that sense of detachment and perspective that most of the mystery schools and the wisdom teachings are about training us to have, so that we can be in the world but not of it, so that we can be detached but we don't abandon the world, so that we can operate from a position of harmlessness. And so doing the actual disciplinary work of doing the meditation, doing the Ajna focus, just remember to put yourself in that spot when you're driving down the road. You don't have to do the formal meditation all the time. But you do that in order to accustom your body to that exercise of that conscious awareness. And then you'll get to where you can just go there at a moment's notice. And you'll begin also to recognize when you're there and when you've fallen. Or as some of my fellow students and I would say, oh, I dropped and wallowed. Quick, back up into the Ajna. And if you're doing this with someone else, then you can help remind each other when you're in stressful situations, things are happening around you that aren't calm and equitable or that need precision and balance, you can help remind each other, oops, back into the Ajna. And from that position, then, you have that openness to the higher, to the strength, to the wisdom, to the beauty. And you have that coalesced, focused precision, balance, control, poise, and power with which to operate and with which to serve in the three lower worlds. So wishing you the very best of luck and progress on developing and utilizing your Ajna Center. Thank you. And you'll want to sit completely straight with your spine erect and your feet flat on the floor and begin breathing deeply. Take in a deep breath. Breathe in light. Fill your physical body with light. Breathe out. Relax. Release all tension. Take another deep breath and breathe in the golden white sparkling light to completely fill your body. Take the light down your legs, into your feet, and sense and see with your creative imagination the light streaming out your toes, out the bottoms of your feet, and out the tops of your feet. Breathe out, relax, release all tension. Take another deep breath, breathing in the golden white light, and again take the light all the way down through your legs and into your feet, and sense the light permeating all of your body cells, all of the organs, the muscles, and the systems. And know that your body receives the light and is the light and radiates the light. As you breathe out, relax and release the tension in your toes. Relax the muscles of your feet. Take another deep breath, breathing in the light. As you breathe out, relax, release the tension in your ankles. Release the muscles of your calves. Relax the tension in your knees. And release the muscles of your thighs. Take in one more deep breath to fill the legs with light. And as you breathe out, relax. Release all remaining tension. Take a deep breath. And fill your stomach cavity, your lower abdomen, with the light. Sense the light swirling and filling and permeating your abdominal cavity. Sense the light moving out from your body. Sense every molecule of your body radiating the light centered in the abdominal cavity. As you breathe out, relax, release the muscles of your tummy area. Take another deep breath, breathing in the golden white light, filling again the abdominal cavity, bathing all of your organs and your systems in the healing light. As you breathe out, relax, release the tension in your hips. Take another deep breath, breathing in the light, and sense the light permeating and radiating out. As you breathe out, relax, release the tension in your diaphragm. Take a deep breath and fill your chest cavity with light. Sense the golden white light filling, expanding, permeating, and penetrating all the systems and the organs, the cells and the molecules of your chest cavity. Know that your body is filled with the light, is the light, and radiates the light. As you breathe out, relax. Release the tension of your chest muscles. Take another deep breath, breathing in the light, sensing it swirling around within and around and through the organs in your chest cavity. Now as you breathe out, relax the muscles of your back. Relax the muscles in the front of your chest and drop your shoulders. Take a deep breath and this time breathe the golden white light down into your arms, past your elbows, past your wrists, and into your hands and fingers. Sense and see the golden white sparkling light completely filling your arms and streaming out the palms of your hands and the tips of your fingers. As you breathe out, relax, release the tension in your fingers, the tension in your hands. Take another deep breath, bringing the light into your arms and hands. As you breathe out, relax, release the tension in your wrists. Relax the muscles of your forearms. Breathe in again, bringing the light again into your arms and streaming out through every part of them. The light permeates, penetrates, and radiates from your body. As you breathe out, relax, release the muscles of your forearms, your elbows, and your upper arms. Take another deep breath, filling the arms again with light, then breathe out and totally relax the muscles in your hands and your arms and drop your shoulders. Take another deep breath and this time send the golden white swirling light around your throat and neck. Sense it going in a counterclockwise direction, wrapping your neck and your throat with the invigorating and relaxing golden white sparkling light. As you breathe out, relax, release the muscles of your shoulders, release the muscles in your neck, and relax the muscles of your throat. Breathe in again, and again sense and see the light swirling around your neck and your throat, bathing every cell and every organ with the healing light. Know that the light permeates and penetrates and radiates from your body. Breathe out, relax, release the remaining tension in your throat and neck. Now take a deep breath and fill your head with the golden white sparkling light. Sense the light filling your entire head. Sense the light streaming out from your eyes, from your ears, from your mouth, from the top of your head, and from the place called the Ajna, the small golden sun between the eyes in front of the forehead. Sense your entire head glowing with and radiating the golden white sparkling light. Breathe out, relax, release the tension in your neck. Take another deep breath, bringing the light into the head and streaming out from it. As you breathe out, relax the tension in your scalp. Relax the muscles of your ears. Release the tension at the base of your tongue. Breathe in again, breathing the light into your head. And as you exhale, relax the muscles behind your eyes. Take another deep breath, filling the head with light, and know that every organ, every system, every cell, and every molecule within your physical head is bathed in the healing, golden white, sparkling light. As you breathe out, relax, release all tension. Continuing to breathe in the light and to breathe out any tension, by an act of your conscious will, know that your physical body is now in a state of perfect health and well-being, perfectly relaxed, perfectly alert, aware and poised to do the bidding of your conscious will. Now tighten the focus of your attention and move up in frequency to the emotional body. Look out upon the emotional plane, visualizing it as a body of water. See here your emotional body as a body of water. Sense and see and know where it is calm, where there is turbulence, where there are obstacles beneath the water, where it may be frozen, where other people's emotional bodies impact and impinge upon yours, and where the emotional body of humanity also has an effect on you. Now, knowing that our emotions, symbolized by water, best reflect the higher light when they are calm and poised and perfectly smooth, by an act of your conscious will, command your emotional body to be poised, to be still yet powerful, but to be calm and reflective of the higher energies. Know that the power of your emotional body and your emotions have an effect on the environment, and again, with an act of your conscious will, calm the emotional bodies of those who are in contact with you, calm the emotional body of humanity, so that all may become powerful and yet reflective, capable of being called into action by your conscious will in service to the higher light. And knowing that your emotional body also responds to your conscious will, and that you have placed it in a position of poise and power, of calmness and reflectivity, the better to serve you, the better to serve the light. Now tighten the focus of your attention and move up into your mental body. Now here upon the mental plane, visualize your mental thoughts as geometry. And see the various thought forms in your mind as geometric shapes and forms, some very solid, some perhaps only lines yet as they are beginning to form. See where they are connected one to the other, and where a thought form gives rise to other thought forms. See how some may have become distorted and simply need realignment with their true concept. See and sense also where the thought forms of others have linked with you, the thought forms of people currently in your environment, of people from your past, and also of humanity's thought life. See that all the thoughts and all the thought forms that humanity has ever created exist permanently in the mental plane and are accessible by you and also can be altered by you. Know that your connection to thought forms can be altered as you alter your perception of them, give them new shape, new life, and new connections.
impose upon your mental body and the geometry of your thought forms precision and balance. Begin to sense and see where some thoughts are inappropriate and outdated, but how their concepts can be reworked and updated for humanity's use and for your use. Know that by an act of your conscious will, you can repattern your own thoughts. You can rebuild, reconstruct, and also build and construct anew the thought forms of yourself, those in your environment, and the thought forms of humanity. Striving always in this arena for clarity, precision, and balance, and knowing that your mental body will obey your conscious will and work in concert with it. Tighten the attention, raise your frequency, and move into the ajna. Visualizing your ajna center as a small golden sun in front of your forehead, know that this is your home, this is your place of work for the soul in this time and place. Know that the ajna is the point of integration and balance for your three bodies, the physical, the emotional, and the mental, and bring all of those three consciousnesses together now into the ajna center. Now take a deep breath and bring all remaining consciousness in your physical body up into the ajna. Take another deep breath and bring all remaining consciousness in your emotional body up into the ajna. And with a third deep breath, bring all remaining consciousness in your mental body into the ajna center. Now sensing and knowing your ajna as the center of balance and integration, know that from this point of consciousness you have perfect control over all three of your bodies, and with the discipline of the ajna focus, you can keep them in perfect balance and perfect integration. Know that sometimes one or the other will need more attention, will be appropriate for it to be in the fore, and that the others will support it totally and completely and appropriately. Know that from the ajna you will have the perspective to know when to use what and how. Now focused in your ajna, turn your attention upward and become aware of the higher energies. Holding your focus in the ajna like the neck of an hourglass, with your physical, emotional, and mental bodies below, become aware of the energies of the above, of your overshadowing spiritual soul. Know that this soul is you in timelessness, projected into this time and place through the ajna as its instrument to be the hands and the feet, the heart and the mind, the eyes and the voice of God in form. Know that through the ajna center, built by your overshadowing soul, you can do the service of your soul in service to the light. Still in your ajna, widen the focus of your higher awareness to include those other souls that overshadow the physical life that we know, and sense the web of interconnected lights that are the other souls in form. Heighten your awareness again and become aware of those intelligences and those energies which are not in physical form, but which help to guide us and to inspire us. And heighten your awareness yet again to the great light of the one life which we all are and of which we all partake and which we all serve. Knowing these higher energies as your inheritance, as your identity, and as your truth. Again, from the Ajna Center, know that you will manifest the truth and the light through the instrument of your soul in this time and place. And holding your position in the Ajna, receptive to the higher energies and causative to the lower, relax your tension slightly and let us utilize the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the Master knows and serves. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Take a deep breath and relax the attention.